This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to DC Stanum, your guided tour of the DC multiverse. I'm your host, Mike Cicchini, the editor-in-chief of DenaGeek.com. And each week, I bring you discussions with writers, artists, actors, and experts covering everything from DC Comics, DC TV shows, to the big screen of the DCEU. And this episode, we've got Cammy Garcia talking to Den of Geek correspondent and DC expert Rosie Knight. For those of you who don't know, DC has been publishing a terrific line of young adult graphic novels, and Cammy has been right at the center of it with a brilliant series of Teen Titans books. Those kicked off with Raven, was followed by Beast Boy, and then, you know, naturally, as these things tend to be, Beast Boy loves Raven. And 2023 will bring Teen Titans Robin. Not only that, she's created a YA version of John Constantine with Constantine Deadly Illusions, which is out now. But here's Cammy and Rosie to tell us all about it.
Could you tell us a little bit about Constantine? Because you've been doing these Teen Titan books, which we love so much, but now you've got this title, Constantine Distorted Illusions. So could you talk about why Constantine?
When we announced it, it was interesting because people were saying, that's not Hellblazer. And Neil Gaiman chimed in on Twitter and said, no, that's why it's called Constantine. So the key to this book is he is 17 years old. He's just graduated from school, high school. And like all 17-year-olds, he thinks he knows everything.
Of course.
So I had to kind of reverse engineer our beloved, you know, kind of weather-worn Constantine. He still, you know, does magic, but he thinks he doesn't need any training. And his parents, his stepfather and his mother, want him to go to the United States and train with this prestigious magician named Lady Marguerite. And he is not interested until his best friend, Veronica, who lives in the United States, her punk band loses its frontman. So Mucus Membrane, her punk band, needs a lead singer for their summer small venue tour. And of course, Constantine then is like, I would love to meet Lady Marguerite. I will stay with Veronica in Georgetown. Kind of occult problems and fun punk band music ensues.
Well, the thing is that makes me laugh so much is, you know, you talked about that difference between Hellblazer and Constantine, but punk and magic, that is Hellblazer and Constantine. So you're going back to the roots. It's just this younger age. So how much fun was it? Teen Titans is such a specific world and a specific group of characters. How fun was it to dive into the magic side of DC and this kind of more gritty John Constantine
world? It was
really
fun. My prose background with Beautiful Creatures is writing magic, you know, and it was fun to go back to that. I also knew very early on when I had this pitch prepared and DC said, we'd really like you to do it. Because I kind of had it on the back burner, I wasn't sure if I was going to do it. I said, if you can get Isaac Goodhart to draw it, I'll do it. And he did. And so while I was really writing, not to outline, but the actual words and stuff, I was imagining Isaac's art the whole time.
Wow.
So he was, in a way, kind of my muse, his work. And I knew he would kill it on this book because he has a style that is very beautiful, but also very edgy and sexy.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what Constantine is. He's like this ragamuffin, sexy guy.
Exactly.
And I knew that he would be able. And then we have original characters because it's an origin story. Mm-hmm. Luna, who's a female magician that he meets. She's a new character. Veronica's new. The bassist Slaughter is new. So I knew also that Isaac is amazing at designing characters. And that's really important when you're doing an origin and you don't have the whole canon to use.
Yeah. Isaac is such a brilliant artist. He's one of my favorite artists working at the moment. And his work with DC is so brilliant. One of the best things about making comics is that moment where you get the art back. So what was that like for you to see Isaac's art for the first time?
So one of the things Isaac wanted to do, kind of to challenge himself, was he really wanted to play with layouts in this. He wanted to do some really out of the box things. So I tried to give him a lot of space in the script. And one of my favorite double pages is I said, six panels and describe them. And it came back and the frame of the actual double page is a butterfly. And then within the butterfly are each inset is a section of the interior of the butterfly. He did something similar. There's a gorgeous page where Lady Marguerite is sitting in this very elegant octopus chair with these giant octopus leg arms. And the frame is the arms go all around to separate the panels.
Wow.
So he brought his A game. And what I really always try to do as a writer is write for the artist and then get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
To really let the artist do their thing. Because, I mean, you know, it is a visual medium.
Yeah, like, exactly. The artist
doesn't
exist.
So my thing is,
artist.
Like, if my script is great, it is, then I feel like it is tailored to that artist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this one, I really felt like I did my job because the art was so incredible. Every time I saw a page.
Kids come up to you. They got the Beast Boy cosplay, Raven. And you're about to introduce the iconic Teen Titans character, Robin.
Robbins.
So could you talk?
So my Teen Titans series with Gabriel Piccolo is incredible.
Unbelievable.
And so much fun. And in Beast Boy Loves Raven, we had, you know, Raven and Beast Boy met. And obviously Kong, his monkey, he continues on. And so does Max, who is Raven's foster sister in our universe. And we introduced what I like to call our first Robin, which is Damian Wayne. And the backstory on this is I pitched this whole series before I found Gabriel. And the coolest thing about it was that Gabriel was doing Titans in their regular clothes, yep. Which was kind of the cornerstone of my pitch. Because they said, we really want you to make the characters relatable. So I'm like, I want it to seem like you could go to school with one of the Titans and not know. And in my original pitch, Damian Wayne was the Robin. And once Gabriel and I got to know each other, he was kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm just really sad because I really love Dick.
Of course,
and I was like,
he's a
well,
Teen Titans
I fan. Really love Damian. And Damian is like so my speed. So kind of as a secret, I was working with my two editors, Courtney Jordan and Christy Quinn. I kind of secretly reworked the Robin book and I figured out a way to have both Dick Grayson and Damian Wayne. So Damian is introduced in Beast Boy Loves Raven, kind of midway through. And then the big moment is in Robin, which comes out 23. It is that Dick is going to be on the page in a big way.
Oh my goodness. That is so exciting. And what I love about this is like, there's been many Robins. I'm a Carrie Kelly super stan. Like I love every kind of Robin, but Dick and Damian together, that's Batman's first son and Batman's, you know, inverted commas, real son. That is such a great team.
And it is a brother story. It is about, and people keep saying, oh, is it a Gotham story? You do see a little of Gotham, mostly Alfred, because I love Alfred also. when you see kind of Dick taking off to find his baby brother. But it really is the story of, you know, Damian doesn't know Bruce, and he kind of gets dropped off by his mother on the doorstep, and Bruce already has this kind of pseudo-adopted son. And you know, for a kid who's never known his father, he feels very replaced.
Yeah.
You know, like my dad didn't want me or, you know, but which isn't actually true because in the story, like canon, you know, that he didn't know about him.
Exactly.
But when you're, you know, 16 years old, it doesn't feel that way when you meet the new son.
Yeah.
So what it really is like Dick is excited to have a brother and wants to know Damian, and Damian wants nothing to do with it.
Ugh.
He does not want to know him. He doesn't want to know Bruce. He wants out. And he kind of gets absorbed into our new Titans group where they, you know, this becomes kind of his found family.
Yeah.
Even though he has run off and left Gotham and doesn't want anything to do with Dick, Dick is not having it. He is like going to find his brother. And so we also get to meet Dick. And over the course of this book and book 5, which I can't tell you what it is, but I know.
But yay, book 5.
You will have to see kind of how they're navigating that sibling relationship. And as someone with 5 siblings, I grew up with 4 brothers. And then when I was in college, my sister was born. But as someone with a lot of brothers and also watching brothers fight and argue and still love each other, it's a great story.
And how happy was Gabriel when you told him?
Oh my gosh, he was so happy. He didn't even know what to do with himself.
Yeah.
And he was really happy because he was excited also to get to create Damian.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun because it gave him a challenge because, you know, in if they're Robin, you know, both of them kind of wear the Robin outfit.
Yeah, of course.
So Dick has kind of Gabriel's classic kind of fan art version of, mm-hmm. you know, Robin with like the Letterman jacket yeah. and stuff. And then Damian is like tactical Robin.
Ooh.
Because there's like parkour in it, which I love.
Oh, that's
and
so fun.
Gabriel knocked it out of the park. But one of the things that Gabriel really shines at is character design.
Yeah.
He really pays attention to the details. One of the things I love is like Damian has a batarang. And it like it has a special like slot on his belt, aww. His tactical belt that it fits in. So, you know, one of the challenges of this series is, you know, now Gabriel's almost finished drawing book four and yeah. they have greenlit all six books. And, you know, it is as a writer, my job is really to keep this really fun for him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that I try to do that is, you know, each book is set in a completely different area, different yeah. type of city. This one, you know, Robin is that there's a lot of beach environment. So I'm always trying to think of like, what has Gabriel not drawn? Because yeah. I need to keep it fun for him so he doesn't get burned out.
Definitely. And for Gabriel as well, he loves to do costume design characters. Like you said, I mean, he was such a successful fan artist for his Teen Titans
absolutely.
Kind of casual. So doing beach and different locations, you get to draw different outfits.
Oh yeah. He drew some very cute swim trunks. Beast Boy has some cute trunks. So I feel like the thing that I really love about this series is kind of like, you know, the way I felt about when I was, you know, co-authoring Beautiful Creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you know that the readers and the fans love the series so much
yeah.
and they've already bought in, you can do this thing where you're just constantly planting like little gifts for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mouse page. It's what the editors and I call the mouse page in Robin, that is this moment with Raven that is so adorable. I can't even stand it. And it's like Gabriel's gift. You know, he can draw kids, animals, mm-hmm. like. And so really, as I have become a better writer of graphic novels, since obviously the first book,
yeah.
Raven was Gabriel and both of our first graphic novel.
Yeah.
Now that I feel I'm a better writer, what I really try to do is give, you know, him these moments that I know he will get to play around or do yeah. something spectacular.
It's the best whenever I write comic books as well. And you always ask the artist, what do you want to draw? That's like the best thing to do. So how does it feel for you? You mentioned that. Raven, that's you both first graphic novel. How does it feel now? Six books have been greenlit. This is a hugely popular series. Kids dress up as these characters. It's best-selling. What is that? It's not the first best-selling thing that you've done, but like it's a best-selling graphic novel about these characters people love. How does that feel for you?
It's amazing, especially because I'm a DC fan and I'm mm-hmm. a Teen Titans fan. You know, my daughter, you know, I grew up with her watching Go. And I was a fan of the animated series. So I think one of the things that makes DC really special versus my, you know, prose novels,
yeah.
you know, my original novels that were not IP, is that I'm playing in this like very, very, you know, I feel like it's gold sand in the sandbox.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm playing in this sandbox with these characters, you know, that I love and all of these people love. And I think one of the biggest responsibilities is always making something fresh without destroying the spirit of it, the
mm-hmm.
thing that the fans love the most.
Yeah.
And that is always what Gabriel and I have tried to be very careful of, is to give them those moments where even if Beast Boy only turns green when he's an animal,
yeah.
you still feel like he's Beast Boy 100% of the time as
exactly.
a reader and a fan. You know, as you were saying, I do say, Gabriel, would you like to draw? In book three, he said, I would like him to turn into an albatross. And I was like, what?
You were like,
we're in a very constrained, not to have spoilers, setting here. So when you do ask your artist what do they want to draw, you have to be prepared to figure out how to make Beast Boy become an albatross.
That's so amazing. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Again, it's just such a joy to talk to you. And good luck with the panel.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And that's it for this week's DC Standum. Keep it right here for more exclusive interviews and special surprises from the world of DC TV and movies. Make sure you're subscribing to us wherever you're listening right now, because it's going to be busy, folks. We got a lot coming up, so you're not going to want to miss an episode. Don't forget to check out our web home at denigeek.com, where you can find all our DC coverage. Go straight to denigeek.com/DC for that. Drop me a line on Twitter. I'm at Way Out Stuff, but if you really want to be cool and make it look like I'm doing my job while you're at it, you should follow DC Standum on Twitter and Instagram. Easy to remember, just at DC Standum, one word. Give those a follow. Tell us what you want to hear about in upcoming episodes. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. I don't know. I just want to hear from you. I'm pretty lonely, folks. What can I say? And hey, don't forget, we also have a Marvel show. We usually do that one live every Thursday on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/DennyGeekTV. Sometimes I do DC Stand'em live on there as well, but not right now. For now, you don't have to look at my face when you want to listen to DC stuff. Anyway, this has been DC Stand'em on the Denny Geek Network. Until next time, I'm Mike Cicchini. And remember, folks, we stand together.